Y'all work me like a mule this weekend. That's what I told him. I said, you had me plowing, planting, watering. Somebody's supposed to do some of that other stuff, right? I said, you all have me doing it. If church is boring, I've been bored since Friday night. Because I've been in church. Go to Romans 6 with me, will you? It's got some things on my heart. Preach this 1,000+ times in my life, and it's fresh all the time. Don't get familiar with the Word of God. Don't think because you read it, you know it. You don't know it until it's in your life. When it's your life, then you know it. The Word becomes flesh. Amen? Yeah, we're following Jesus in everything. Don't forget that. Jesus, the Word, became flesh, dwelt among us. So He wants to multiply that truth in our lives where the Word becomes flesh and dwells among people. Where we don't just have a doctrine. We're not just trying to get a head nod or an agreement over a coffee. But our lives are actually convincing and they actually share a truth. Does that make sense? This is true. It's if you know men by their fruits, then your life has to be important. If God gave us a body to act out what's on the inside, then I guess the act matters. Yeah, not that it's an act, but the actions. Am I making sense to you this morning? I just want you to be convicted in that we're called to be the light of the world, guys. I shared passionately this morning. I have a whole different thought on my heart, but I think it's shared in the light of this, that God sent His Son for the number one reason of restoring relationship, right relationship back with the Father. For us to have union and communion with God is the highest goal of the gospel, that you and I know the Father through the Son. It's not so you just get blessed or find some favor or get protection or go to heaven when you die. We're not just trying to align our destiny. Come on, the gospel's way deeper than the gospel serving you. The gospel transforms you. We're not here for what God can do for us. We're here for how we can become more like Him after the fall of man. So Jesus comes and takes care of the problem, which was sin, which had us separated. He who knew no sin was made to be sin so we could become right once again in the sight of God. And I don't know about you, but that's a big deal. Don't ever get old with that and familiar. If you feel like your heart doesn't care about that, ask Holy Spirit to help you with that and do something about that. If you feel like you're not that hungry for God, ask Holy Spirit to help you with that and do something about that. If you feel like you hear the Word and it doesn't really move you, ask the Lord that you'd love Him to begin to move your heart in some of these truths and watch and see what happens on the inside. We're not self-made. We're lived by grace. And if you're hungry, you're going to be filled. And if you ask God to make you more hungry, it's amazing how He does that. If you ask Him for grace to pursue Him and grace to see Him and grace to understand Him, it's amazing because that's all part of the journey. That's part of seeking and asking and knocking, right? So some people say, well, I'm just not that hungry. So ask for hunger in the Lord. Well, I really don't understand when I read, so I don't ever read much. So ask for understanding and keep reading. You see what I'm saying? I'm just saying it's part of the journey, guys. We're not going to find Him without pursuing Him in the sense of understanding Him. Don't just settle for being a part of what God's doing, being a part of a church, being in ministry. Be satisfied with getting to know Him. If the number one reason that Jesus died on the cross is to get you back to the Father, make sure you're back to the Father is what I'm saying. Is that fair? Right. Come on, that's just from my heart. I feel like I could cry over that because I feel like the Lord's been wooing me all morning, like in this place to draw people like I'm not judging anybody in the room. I'm not sure we're understanding and taking advantage of that privilege and being with the Father like we could. And he longs for that relationship. He longs for that intimacy and that connectivity. I mean, if the Pharisees look at Peter and John and say they're uneducated men, but know that they were with Jesus, then that matters. So your education isn't what's priority. It's being with Jesus. Nothing wrong with education, but education without being with Jesus is just knowledge. So if you're going to get education, you probably ought to be with Jesus. So it becomes love and edifies and never just puffs you up. And all of a sudden you just settle on your resume. And your resume's enough. Your background's enough. Your education's enough. Your degree's enough. Your position's enough. No, your light shining is what it's all about. It's you living in the Spirit and walking in love. It's you making peace and showing mercy. It's you not letting people decide who you are and how you are, but Jesus already settled that through communion and relationship. Amen. It's this stuff I preach nonstop all the time. I say the same thing. I'm like a record, man. But it ain't broken. Yeah. It's on purpose. Where did I turn you? Romans 6? Probably be a good place to jump in there. I mean, if you want to pick a chapter, we can go there, man. It's fun. Oh, my goodness. Wow. The end of Rome. I'm not trying to be silly here. I just want to obey. The end of Romans 4 says, it talks about Abraham, and it talks about righteousness being imputed to Abraham because he believed. It's a cool story. It's a cool story because it's in the New Testament. It's something that happened back in Genesis a long, long, long time ago. But he talks about it. Paul talks about it. And it's amazing how he talks about it because he says Abraham didn't waver. He wasn't shaken. He didn't move in his faith. And when you look at the story in Genesis, he did the total opposite of everything Paul says. He did the total opposite. He went into Hagar and he did question and he did backpedal. And Paul's right in saying Abraham didn't move. He was fully persuaded. No, he wasn't. He listened to Sarah and he went into Hagar and he created Ishmael. So when you read the story, you're like, did Paul miss this? Does he have the same story I read in Genesis? Because the story in Genesis is the total opposite of what he wrote in Romans. The man absolutely compromised and he did waver. And he did backpedal. And he slept with somebody that wasn't his wife, his maidservant, and had a child with her to try to help God fulfill his promise. And back in those days, come on, these men, if you read the Bible, there was a lot of promiscuity from the beginning of time, man. I mean, if your wife says, hey, why don't you sleep with a maidservant? Maybe you can get her pregnant. That's the way we can have a baby. I don't think he said, man, I need to fast and pray about that. He probably said, what? You want me to go sleep with Hagar? Yeah, you got my permission. I think we need to have a baby through her because it ain't working with me, bud. Okay, we'll give it a try. Hagar. Just messed up. So why is Paul writing what he's writing? Because he's talking about repentance. There has to be a place when you look at the Bible when Ishmael's already there and God shows up and says, Abraham, stand before me and be righteous. And he starts talking to him and Abraham says, oh, that Ishmael might stand before you. So you know it already happened. And he said, nope, it ain't going to be that way. It's not going to be the son of your flesh. It's going to be the son of promise. It's not going to come from your hand. It's going to come from my hand. Yes. And he reaffirmed and reestablished that God reestablished he hadn't budged no matter how much Abraham did otherwise. At some point, you have to receive forgiveness. At some point, repentance has to be legitimate, and you have to stand where you stand in repentance and never go back to where you were. At some point, you gotta let faith be true faith and let forgiveness be true forgiveness. At some point, you gotta accept God saying, stand before me and be righteous, even if you didn't do anything right yet. It's so powerful, his repentance and the mercy of God, that Paul writes without hesitation or conviction that Abraham didn't waver and was fully convinced. He had to be talking about the Abraham after he stood before the Lord the second time. Now in life, we don't remember people that way. We remember what they failed. Even if the second time around, we still somehow remember the first. People remember their own first. In the gospel, you can't remember your first. You have to remember where you stand with God, when you repented, when he forgave you, when he filled you, and when you moved forward. Actually, I could show you two scriptures in the Bible that teaches you you don't even have a past. You have a present and a things to come. You have a present and a things to come. You've been given all things, life, death, angels. Yeah? And he says, and present and things to come. You don't even have a past. He bought it. It's his. He threw it in a sea of forgetfulness. It drowned it in a water baptism. It went into the filter. Change them filters, dude. Them filters are screaming, man. You listen, a lot of stuff in them filters. Change them filters. It's all there. It's all down there. You come up in the newness of life. If it's new, it's new. Don't look back. Don't be Lot's wife. Be his bride. Don't look back. Come on, I feel strong in that. I feel like there's people today sitting here right now that need to hear a strong, strong exhortation. Don't look back. Why are you looking back? Look, if your heart's sorry, you're sorry. If the thing makes you cry, then move forward. It's not who you wanted to be. It's not who you wish you were. So stop being that person now that it's past. Step in where you are now in your heart. Let God forgive you now. Let God love you now. Forgive yourself now and take a big step forward in Christ. Are you with me? I feel passionate about that. I feel like somebody's robbing themselves. Just staying where they don't belong. Watch this. Staying where they don't even really believe, where they not really aren't anymore. It's not noble to hold yourself that accountable to where you can't move forward. It's just take accountability, receive forgiveness and sincerity, take a step out and move forward and never look back. It's okay to do that. In fact, it's the only way to do it. Are you with me? I just love that story. I wasn't going to read that. I'm trying to get to Romans 6. But the Bible's amazing. And then you backpedal as a preacher and you got it all colored and you know what it says anyway. And you're like, oh. And then I get to Romans 5:1. It's where I was going to start, but it starts with a therefore. So we have a problem, right? We have a therefore. So I can't jump into the therefore because you don't know what it's there for. So then I back up 3 more verses to find out what it's there for. And I find Abraham and I go, we got a dilemma. I can't even preach. I got to keep backing up. But it's a good story, Abraham. Any of you ever read in Genesis Abraham's account and how it all went down and how he went into Hagar and how God promised and how years went by and it wasn't happening? Sarah was not getting pregnant. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said it's God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they are. He's talking about Abraham. He says, who contrary to hope, was contrary to even hope that you could get Sarah pregnant, but in hope he believed. So he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Watch. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Of course they did the first time. Sarah said, look, this ain't working. I'm too old. This ain't happening. You're probably too old too, bud. But if you ain't too old, maybe you can go into Hagar and maybe it'll work through her. Why don't you take my maidservant? Maybe that way we'll have a son and we can fulfill God's promise for him. Do you know that's how it went down? Sure. Paul's saying not weak in faith. When I look in Genesis, he was weak in faith. He considered his body. He says he didn't consider his body. It's not contradictory. This isn't some big cover up. This is life after repentance. So heaven in the New Testament, New Covenant, Romans, epistle to the church, New Covenant through the blood, Jesus, high priest, Romans, the language in the New Covenant doesn't remember his sin. The language in the New Covenant doesn't remember his compromise. The language in the New Covenant doesn't even acknowledge that he considered his own body and Sarah's almost being 100. Those two. Why? Because after it all happened, God called him out and said, hey, it's still the way it was. It's still what I said. No matter what you've done, it's still the same. At some point, Abraham must have said, man, forgive me. Just forgive me. And God said, finish. Now let's move on. And Paul said, this man was never weak in faith. All that heaven's going to remember, what's written for all time, is the testimony of Abraham believing God. That's phenomenal. Sounds like we have all have way more than hope if we'll just believe the gospel and understand the goodness and mercy of God. Watch this. And not being weak in faith, he didn't consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't even waver at the promise of God through unbelief. First time, you better believe he did. Ain't that something? But the testimony of him doesn't mention where he'd missed it. That's incredible. That's incredible. He didn't waver at the promise in unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith and gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, guess who you'll find in the patriarchs of faith? You'll find Miss Sarah. And it says Sarah, she's in the patriarchs of faith. Like she's in the list of witnesses we're supposed to follow. Like she made the list of examples of faith. It says, consider Sarah who by faith received strength to conceive. And I'm thinking, the last time I looked, she laughed and lied in the same day to God. God said, your wife's going to have a baby. And she's listening behind the tent, listening in. They visited Abraham's tent. And they're talking to Abe. And they say, hey, she said, oh, okay. Now his maidservant's going to find pleasure. I don't think so. And he said to Abraham, because she cynically laughs. She's, huh. He said, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah said, I didn't laugh. He said, oh, but you did. She laughed and lied in the same moment in the presence of the Lord. Doesn't that make it worse? Isn't that how we talk? You know? And in Hebrews, she's a patriarch of faith. Why? Because it takes faith to receive grace. It takes faith to receive grace. By grace through no faith, no grace. At some point, Sarah had to believe she was even worthy to be forgiven. Had to believe God wanted to forgive. And had to believe, in fact, she was. And heaven said, I'll tell you what, we'll record that. And we'll set that as an example for all people. She'll be part of the witnesses that are cheering on the body of Christ. Are you with me? I came to express to you with enough passion how important it is to receive the mercy and forgiveness and love of God and never look back. And never look back. How important it is to not live condemned, not live in regrets. Regret is the world's way. And it always produces death. Godly sorrow is God's way. And it brings life. Are you with me? Can't even express it passionately enough. How important it is to get away from a sin consciousness, from a sin mindset, from a yesterday mentality, from a, yeah, but I'm guilty. Yeah, but I feel bad. Okay, if you feel bad, do something healthy about it. Tell the Lord what you see, why you feel bad. Take responsibility, put it off, and put on the new. And walk out your salvation. I've watched way too many good people stumble. People that didn't mean wrong. People that weren't hypocrites just started believing wrong. Believing their feelings. Believing unbelief. Putting God in a position he never is in. Letting their feelings define as God. I shared it this morning about a young lady that said, I just feel like God's angry. It's not the same when I go commune with him because I believe he's angry. And I said, well, that's because you probably violated your conscience, did something against your own conscience, and you didn't get resolve. And now when you go to him, you believe he's angry. So you're experiencing that emotion. It was that simple. She smiled and giggled, and we got resolve, and she scampered out. It was cute the way she left. It was just funny. I thought, wow. My man sitting over here, he came to me and said, It's a good thing to ask these questions, not putting him down at all. He said, man, I got these thoughts. There's these thoughts. I don't even talk about them. They're terrible thoughts. And I don't, you know, and I said, so they're thoughts. He said, I know they're not in my heart. I said, well, then you already won. The battle's already won. They're thoughts. You know, they're not in your heart. So we think we win when the thoughts go away. So we go on this mad pursuit and get all this ministry, go through all these streams of ministry, get lots of oil put on us, go through the past 1,000 times, walk through every trauma we can remember, hoping thoughts go away. The goal isn't that the thoughts go away. The goal is that you never believe them when you know they're not in your heart. Well, why won't these thoughts go away? Stop it. Why do you believe them? Why do they even bother you? They ought to spring you to truth every time. And if they're foolish enough to keep speaking and taking you to the truth, let them keep speaking. It ain't a problem. Yeah, but I just hate hearing it. I'd rather see you believe in God. That's better. Instead of just saying, I just hate hearing. Listen, I heard curse words in my mind. I had a couple people that are into deliverance stuff. They said, well, if you'd have come to us, we'd have got you free. I said, I was never bound. See, if you're in a line of ministry and you think having the thoughts is the problem, you shouldn't even be in ministry. Because now you're ministering to sensuality and you're trying to get results instead of build truth in people's lives. Because now they're sitting ducks. Because now they're going to think another bad thought 2 weeks from now and they need your ministry more. And then a month from now, they're going to have another and they think something else is wrong with me and I'm still not healed. When are you ever free in that belief system? When do you ever have wholeness? When are you ever delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love? You never are, because feelings and sensuality are dictating your life. And in good effort, we're trying to minister to feelings and mentalities and memories and flashbacks and dreams. And none of that is the issue. The issue is not taking it to heart and believing it's you. And believing the suggestions are you. When I sat on my bed and asked Holy Spirit, I told him, I don't feel this way about you. The thoughts were mainly directed to my friend, Holy Spirit, and they were not cool thoughts. And they were thoughts I was a curser when I wasn't saved. I thought you had to swear in the warehouse to fit in. I'd say 5 curse words to say 2 English. I'm not proud of that. It's just weak and wimpy. It's just messed up. But that's how I talked. And these phrases were beyond what was in my language. And they were directed. Why? Because of my hunger. So I'm reading and all of a sudden I'm going to read and I blaspheme the Holy Spirit, speak against holy, any of you who speak against. And then this feeling come over me. Oh, you've done that. Oh. And then I remember the thoughts, or the thoughts come as I read it. And next thing you know, I'm cut off. I just did the unthinkable. I just did that. But my heart's going, no way. I don't even want to. Ah! If I tell you not to picture, make sure whatever you do when I say this, don't you picture an elephant. Don't you picture an elephant. No, hey! You already did. Some of them have polka dots and pink. It's just suggestion. It's power of the mind. It's the tool Satan uses. Tries to get in your mind to reach your heart. That's why you got to know what's in your heart. You got to have confidence in your heart. You got to have your heart protected and guarded. When you don't keep your heart clean, you can't discern this stuff. When you're carrying issues and unresentment and forgiveness and regret and guilt and condemnation and shame, then the way that seems right to a man seems right. It's amazing how feelings about God, or lack of feelings about God, and thoughts are like the major struggles that people share with you. The way they're thinking and the way they're feeling. It's the 2 number 1 things that people struggle with when they ask for counsel. It's the number one attack of the enemy. I sat on my bed. I said, Holy Spirit, I don't feel this way about you. I already had a relationship with him. I talked to him all the time. I woke up in the morning after I got saved that night. I woke up in the morning. I can't help it. Don't try to rearrange my theology. I just woke up praying in tongues and the Spirit of God was on me and I can't do anything about that. I didn't want to. I was happy. So if you tell me he's not for today and tongues isn't for today, we got a little problem because I woke up and nobody influenced me and there was nobody in my room and I didn't have a certain circle, denomination, or stream influencing me. I just woke up saved and Holy Spirit was on me and I was praying some loud, fast stuff that I'd never heard before. And it felt good and I was happy. So you say he doesn't do that today. Well, maybe not with you, but what do you do with me now? Because that ain't true where I'm concerned. Well, he isn't healed today. Well, maybe not for you because you don't believe anything. What are you going to do with people that are healed? Everybody's a liar. I don't think everybody that says they were healed is a liar or an exaggerator. Come on. I said, Holy Spirit, I don't feel this way about you. Now, this was fun. He said, I know you don't. And that was a relief. Because in my heart, I knew I didn't. When Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and revealed that he knew that it wasn't in my heart. So guess what I said? Probably what you'd have said. I said, so what do I do? Because I'm still thinking this has to stop. I said, so what do I do? He says, every time you hear it, tell me how you feel about me. And I'll never forget it. I was sitting on the corner of my bed and I went, oh, you are so wise. Oh my. You don't even care to stop the thoughts. You just care to make sure I never believe what they're suggesting. Wow. I was 3 months saved and I understood it. I went, whoa. I'm not putting anybody down, but I'm so glad I didn't call ministries for help. I'm 27 years saved. I might still be going through them. I'm just telling you, I've seen people never get free from that mentality that they're only as good as they're feeling and they're just trying to feel better. Well, something's just blocking me. I just think I have a block. I just feel like I have a block. Well, let's take you through another session. There's probably something we just didn't touch yet. I'm just glad I didn't call a ministry. I might not have ever really knew who I was. I might still be looking to feel better. I'm sorry that sounds raw and rough, but I'm just being honest. I've seen people saved for years and they're still asking for prayer because of their feelings. I'm not being insensitive. I'm not being mean. How you feel is not my priority. If I'm your minister, what you believe is what I care about. And if your feelings is your highest belief, then we're going to separate your belief from your feelings and we're going to impart truth to your life. And you'll watch your feelings change. Oh, yeah. When you don't believe God loves you because of something you did, what's that going to produce in the feeling realm? When you believe you're not forgiven, when you believe you're a failure, how's it going to affect your emotions and your feeling life? My goal was not to minister to your sensual life. My goal was to minister to your belief system and get you to get every lie out of your life. Holy Spirit is so awesome. He said, every time you hear the voices, tell me how you feel about me. And I got it. He knows I know because he knows me. He knows exactly how to talk to me and handle it. And when he says it, it wasn't a mystery to me. It wasn't something I had to search out or call three ministers to get discernment. He said it and I went, oh, this is amazing. Because none of these things are in my heart. This is a lie. So then them voices would come out of the blue. They would just come and they were nasty phrases. Well, see, I just can't think that God would want to, and he's bigger than that, and there's a way to get that to stop. See, we think the victory is when the voices stop, and I promise you, the victory is when you never believe him and have influence in your life. What does submit to God and resist the devil mean to you? It's a one-step program. If it's a two-step program, that's trouble. It's one step. My submitting is my resisting. And guess what he'll do? He'll flee. It doesn't say in 30 seconds. It doesn't say in a week. It just says he'll flee. I tell people this story. I had somebody come to me and they said, well, if you'd have come to us, we could have got them voices to stop. I said, that's arrogance and presumption. You need to stop that. I wish you wouldn't even believe that. I said, because they said, well, yeah, but for it to last that long, there's a way to get rid of it. I said, you're not even hearing the testimony. You're stuck in a mentality dealing with sensuality. Just so you know, the reason I talk so strong, I studied all those ministries for 5 years. And I interviewed lots and lots of people. And I never found solid, lasting testimonies. I just found people that needed more ministry, and the people that were ministering those things needed ministry themselves because of their own belief systems. So they had the same challenges as the people they were ministering to, so they just called it normal Christian struggles. Just saying, I'm not talking out of turn. 5 years. I interviewed people and studied out and looked at every angle and talked to both sides, ministers and people that were ministered to. So I'm not popping off. And what broke me one night is I went to the church because I left my keys on the steps of the altar at a healing service, and all the lights were out. And it was on a day when I saw two people blind get their sight in York County. One little girl was born blind in her left eye, and one lady lost her sight to glaucoma at age 62. And I watched two people in the same day get their vision. That's a pretty good day. That's a pretty good day. And I stayed late after everybody left. Man, do I feel the Lord right now? This is good. I don't talk like that rarely because I save that for the bedroom. But man, do I feel you right now. Stop it, please. I'll be no good for nobody. Oh, no, don't say that. It's not good. I went down the back door. You know how you recollect something? You're like, oh, my keys. It wasn't that. It was the Lord. He said, hey, because you know how you go out the church and it'll lock when you close it? You can't get back in? You know how the door locked behind you? He said, hey, you're about to lock yourself out of the church. You ain't got your keys. Your keys are up on the steps. And I went, thank you. It was totally the Lord. It wasn't, oh, my keys. It wasn't like, I think I left my keys. No, I was clueless. I'm just floating. And I'm heading out and I get to the door. Holy Spirit says, hey, your keys are up here. You're going to lock yourself out of church. It's going to be funny. No keys to the kingdom. Guess he wasn't talking about the building. So I run up. I'm yay. I get to our doors, to our sanctuary. They're wooden panel, wooden frame, double doors with glass in the middle. I opened it up, just needed a little WD-40. I opened it up. It's dark. Everything's dark. Little exit lights. As soon as it went, it instantly connected me with a familiar memory of when I was 12 years old. And I got sent up to the attic to sleep because my sister was born. And we were mad at her, that little baby. She kicked us out of our room. She took priority in our house. We were a little upset at her. We weren't that happy. Poor little girl. She knows we love her now. But I was 12 and I used to stay up late and watch Alfred Hitchcock. I watched Tales of the Crypt. They had that camera going through the house and down the steps into the coffin. You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. You watch it all the time, and then the thing opens, and you're like, you're waiting. You know it's coming. It still freaks you out. And I'd watch that stuff, and then I'd have to go open the door to go up to the attic, and it's wooden steps, and the door would go. It would just freak me out, man. It's feeling. Well, see, if you don't have the right understanding, you just buy into that. You go, oh, see, you just need ministry, brother. There's that place in your life when you were 12 you need. You still have fear in your life. Wait a minute. You're going to tell me that two people blind got their sight today. A door creaks, and I remember being afraid at age 12, and you're going to tell me I need deliverance. Because a door creaked, and I felt a feeling of remembrance. I know it's going to sound arrogant to some, but you're wrong. Way wrong. Way wrong. I didn't realize it was God answering my 5-year study. It was 5 years I was studying because I was perplexed by all this. And I didn't want to speak out of turn. So when that door hit, I instantly felt like when I was 12, 10, 12, somewhere around there. And my normal instinct when I was a kid, I would have to go past an open door, a closed closet, all wood floors to get to my bedroom. By the time I get there, I'm already thinking I'm jumped on, attacked, fang marks in my neck. I'm already scared silly. And I bust through the door and I would run and dive in my bed. But on the way through, I would hit the light and make sure I could see. And then I'd get out and knew I was safe. I'd turn it off and crawl in bed. But I always hit that light. So guess what I did? Just a familiar spirit. It's just a blast from the past. It's just taking me back to a place of remembrance. You're telling me fear's been living inside me all this time just because I felt the remembrance of what I used to... You're telling me I got some unresolved thing harbored down on the inside of my spirit, of my body, my life? I started walking up and I left the light off on purpose. I ain't turning no light on. The light's in me now. And I'm just walking to the steps and I'm singing the song and I'm making it up. It's a new song. But I'm not really making it up because I found it in the Bible. So I'm singing a song about the blood of Jesus. I got to the altar and there, sure enough, Holy Spirit always knows what he's talking about. There was my keys sitting right there, right below the little glass plexiglass pulpit. I picked them up and said, thank you so much. I didn't get locked out of the church. I turned, and when I turned, I saw two black objects for a millisecond hovering right at my shoulders when I turned, and they were right here. And they just disappeared as soon as I saw them. And the Lord said, see, Dan, they're outside trying to get in. Don't you ever, ever let them in. I prayed about that ever let them in thing, believing what they suggest. Here's what the Lord showed me. If I call Pastor Don and say, Pastor Don, man, I know I just saw these eyes open. I was, but man, I opened the door and it creaked. It was like I was a kid again. I felt this fear. I didn't know this fear was in me. I didn't know I still had fear. I didn't even relate to fear all these years. And all of a sudden, this fear just shows up out of nowhere. If he ain't sharp, which he is, if he ain't sharp, he says, well, brother, we just need to pray to get the fear out of your life. And all of a sudden, I'm responding like I got fear in me. I'll promise you in the next half a day, I'm going to experience that same feeling 3-4 more times. I promise you in a week, I'm sure I'm the most bound man there's ever been. But if Pastor says, Dan, listen, it was a feeling, a door creak. It's just remembrance. It's familiarity. It's just, it's a thing taking you back to something when you were a child. Listen, you're born again. Old things are dead. That child you're remembering is dead. He's buried in baptism with Jesus. Don't you let a feeling stop all the momentum and the growth and the maturity and the authority that you've been walking in, Dan. No, I'm not praying for fear to come out of your life because it ain't in your life. And I would hope that's what he'd have told me. Can I be honest? There's not a whole lot of pastors that'll tell you that. They'll just pray for fear to get out of your life. And what the Lord was showing me, when I believe it's mine, it becomes mine. So we might just be a flashback, a memory, an impression away from making a big mistake if we don't walk it out in truth. How many people have flashbacks, impressions, and memories? All the time. How many people wake up and have a bad dream? Well, you shouldn't wake up sweating and calling on your cell phone for prayer. You should lift your hands and thank God once you realize you're in your bed and you're fine and you ain't in hell and... You all lift your hands right in bed. Sweat still running down your face because the dream was so real. Wow, Father, I thank you. I'm sanctified, set apart, and free. I thank you that you live in me. And oh my goodness, you rule my life. God, I love you so much. That sure beats calling for prayer. Probably 6 months went by. Every time I heard those voices, I talked to Holy Spirit. I love you so much. You're my best friend. I appreciate you. Thank you for the wisdom in my life. Man, you are the voice of God in my life. You show me things to come. You show me things about people. I had already started experiencing words of knowledge and prophetic stuff. It was just fun. I didn't have names for it. I didn't know I was reading someone's mail. I was just sharing thoughts and intentions, and people were falling apart and wrecking. And they're like, man, it's like you know me. And I'm like, I don't know. I guess he knows you. And I didn't have any terms. I didn't know to call it a word of knowledge. I didn't even know what it was. But it was happening in my life, And at the same time, I'm hearing wretched phrases directed to him. It's amazing. It's fascinating. But I just kept talking to the Lord. I'm months in. That's where people freak out. Months! I'm not living as a man with a problem. One day, I have an answer. Yeah, but you're hearing them voices. I have an answer. See, if you're going to stumble over the fact that you're hearing them voices, you're just one little trial away from making a big mistake. We better have wisdom. The Holy Spirit told me to tell me how I feel about him when I hear them voices. That's all I'm doing. I don't care if it's 10 years. That's all I'm doing. So guess what happens? Somewhere around 6 months in, I just realized I haven't heard those voices since I can remember. It might have been a month. I don't know. I just wasn't thinking. I was in communion with God. I'm talking to God. My coworkers are freaked out. They're saying, why are you always talking to yourself? I said, I never talk to myself. They said, you talk to yourself every day. We see you talking to yourself walking down the aisle. I said, never talking to myself. Not guilty. It looks like I'm talking to myself to you, but I ain't talking to myself. I just realized the voices went. When I realized the voices went, guess what I really realized and what made me cry? I realized I had an intimate knowledge and awareness, fellowship and union with the person of Holy Spirit that I don't believe I'd ever had close to if I wasn't hearing those voices. You see what God does? Right in the face of the enemy? So if you're the enemy, how freaked out are you now? How do you defeat that kind of wisdom if we'll just live in faith? You can't even defeat that kind of strategy. So the enemy actually provoked me to greater revelation. So the lie was actually a springboard to more communion, fellowship, and truth. So what the Lord showed me to teach people back then is that when you hear these lies, when you hear these thoughts, and you know they're not your heart, and you know they're the devil, he's a liar from the beginning, and there's no truth in him. Who knows that scripture? Who knows Jesus said that? Okay, so if he's a liar from the beginning and there's no truth in him and he's saying something derogatory or wretched or nasty, then if you flip that 180 and you'll turn that, you'll probably find the side of the coin that says truth. So do you need the voice to go away? Or do you need to know what truth is? Because if you continue my word, you'll know the... He didn't say if you continue my word, every voice will still in your soul. Who knows voices never still? Did you ever get wacky stuff out of the blue? Like you're like, what? I know people joke and say it's a pizza dream. I'm telling you, it ain't pizza. Did you ever just go through your day and something you forgot about, something you repented of, something that wasn't even, and all of a sudden you were reliving it, you were just thinking it. It was just like it was there, like it was yesterday. Anybody ever have that stuff happen? Anybody ever just think of something they wish they could forget and it's just right there? Instead of wishing you forget it, just make sure you never ever believe it and let it have 1 ounce of influence in your life. And as soon as that recollection comes back, man, you talk to him and thank him that you're free and vindicated. Don't even mention the recollection. Don't rebuke the devil. Don't bind the devil. Don't pace the floor and plead the blood. I'm telling you. Look, I love the blood of Jesus. But he never told me to pace the floor and plead the blood of Jesus over my thoughts. He told me to put every thought in submission and hold it captive and obedient according to Christ. Not demeaning the power of the blood. The blood is what it is. But the pleading the blood isn't your answer when you're having derogatory thoughts. Truth is your answer because the thoughts are a lie. What people do is they do Christian calisthenics and they start doing all this. I plead the blood. Devil, I take authority over your power. I rebuke you. I bind you. Devil, I rebuke you. I bind you. And as soon as they stop rebuking and binding and they get calm and quiet, what happens? Bleep. And then they start believing, I must be cut off. I must have gone too far. I wonder why God don't love me. I wonder why my prayers ain't working. Now you're calling a minister in despair because everything you're trying ain't working. Did anybody ever see anybody walk out this scenario in their life, or am I just coming up with this? It's all the time. It's all the time. The pastors and ministers are saying it's all the time. They're the ones you probably should ask because they're the people we run to. I'm not putting anybody down today. I'm saying, guys, we don't have the problem we think we have. We have an amazing answer. We really do. Oh, my goodness, it's so late. I didn't even... I was trying to go to Romans 6. Or, I don't even have a clue. You read Romans 6. When you get a chance. Because it's really good. I was going to go into 5 and show you what happened through the fall and how through one man's disobedience, we all became disobedient and unrighteous in the sight of God. But through one man's obedience, we were made righteous. I was just going to lay all that out and then go into Romans 6 from Romans 5. If you want to do yourself an amazing favor, read the last 2 verses of 4 so you're set up for the therefore in Romans 5:1. And then keep rolling. Keep rolling. And roll through 5 and roll through 6. Because here's the deal. Having bad memories, having bad thoughts, thinking nasty stuff is never the problem. It's believing it's you and it's in your heart and in your life is the problem. When you're violated about what you're thinking, it's a sure sign it's not coming from the inside of you. Come on, you know if you're just dredging stuff up. You know if you're musing and meditating. You know if you're entertaining your own thoughts. Or you know if you're bothered by them. If you're bothered by them, they can't be coming from you. So you probably ought to rejoice in God that there's a higher truth and thank God that you're free. I think it's fascinating that at least 5 months of those thoughts came to my mind. And after those 5 months, I had a more intimate relationship with Holy Spirit than I believe I would have ever had if it wasn't for the thoughts. Why? Because Holy Spirit told me to come to Him all the more and it springboarded me to relationship. I tell the story. You've probably heard me tell it. I'll close with this. I know I'm late. Baptism, it was late day. Are we okay? Are we way too late? You guys are rowdy. That's why you come to the late service, because it's always late, because he's your pastor. He's your pastor. So let me tell you this quick story. I'm in a school of ministry. I'm the preacher. I'm supposed to be anointed. I'm supposed to impart and teach students. I'm supposed to be. So I'm standing there with a microphone. The worship was amazing. The team was there. It was a holy moment. It was one of those special moments, them real moments. They're sometimes rare, unfortunately, but it was a real moment where you get guitar players are laying down their guitars like Jesus is in the room. I'm not against guitar. I think it's awesome. They love to play guitars. But when a guitar player lays down his guitar and he's on his knees and he's weeping, something's happening. There wasn't nobody drumming. There wasn't nobody making no music. There was this tinkering of high keys sounded like rain. And when you look back, you got one little girl down like this. That's all you got. And everybody else is prostrate and wiped out. And when she touched that one little key, it was like, dum, dum. It's just crazy, amazing. And it was a holy moment. And when you're in the position of having a microphone, you want to be very sensitive and you don't even know when to talk and you don't even want to talk. You know what I'm talking about. It's a holy atmosphere and you're like, you don't even want to step into this thing. So that's what it was. Holy hush thing. People weeping. Prostrate. Everybody's just like this. I'm supposed to be the teacher. I'm supposed to be the one anointed and impart some to students. That's why I'm there. And in the middle, this is why it happens then. Because our spiritual minds say, now how can that happen in that level of the presence of God? And how can, well, if you read your Bible, It's amazing. I don't understand the story, but there was a gathering of the sons of God and somehow the devil was in the lineup. Book of Job. Somehow he was there. Now I ain't saying he has the right to this and that, and I understand some of the stuff that we preach and go after, but listen, this is why it happened when it happened. Because my temptation to say, now how can this must still be, what happened was I'll just be humble and honest, I was never bound to porn. Pornography was at our workplace, magazines laying everywhere, they were everywhere. But I never was given to porn, I never was hooked to porn, I never even viewed a lot of pornography. But there was like this one video. I was in this position where it was playing, and I was in a position where I ended up watching this one video. It's the only video, pornography video, I've ever watched in my life. In that holy atmosphere with that little girl tinkling them keys, once you know, that video started playing in my head. I hadn't even remembered ever watching it. It's the last thing on my mind is that stinking video. It's on purpose. It's to catch me off guard. It's to get me to repent for something that ain't in my heart. It's getting me to lose confidence and assurity and certainty and step out of my anointing. It's to get me to take something personal and start confessing and call a brother. So, listen, I got some stuff going on in me right now, man. I need you to pray for me. I need clean. This video's going through my head like I'm watching it fresh. It's a holy moment. You don't speak. Everybody's laying out, Matt. I'm standing there and I got a video playing in my head that ain't God. So guess what I did? Forgot about the atmosphere. Because you just poked me now and I'm a soldier. Guess what I did? I scared everybody in the room. No, I'm not joking. This is intense warfare. You're going to suggest that that stuff's in my heart, in the presence of God. Oh, see? You know what I did? I'm standing there and I see this video and I go, huh? It didn't take long. I'm like, huh? Father, I thank you that you love me, that you've washed me, that you... This is when nobody's talking, nobody's playing, everybody's wiped out, and there's high keys from a girl. Madman stuff. Father, I thank you that I'm pure, that you've washed me and cleansed me. You have put your life inside of me. God, you have forgiven me of everything I've ever done. And I started to preach and declare Romans 6 and righteousness and freedom. And people were like, whoa, what's going on with Dan? That ain't where the room was. They went, wow, God must be. So people started standing up. And Father, I thank you. And God, and we started getting shouts and confessions and decrees. And I thought, oh my goodness, God turned this into something. So I get up. I'm supposed to be teaching school ministry. So I'm words of knowledge and stuff like that. So I stand up and I'm like, Father, we thank you. And I'm like, God. And I was going to explain to him what happened and teach. But I looked at this lady and I said, ma'am, she was like right where you are, second row, right on in the middle aisle. And I said, ma'am, I said, you've had something growing on the inside of your right ankle. It's been pinching, bothering the nerve. You've been concerned about it. You're getting it looked at. I said, feel, you'll see it's not there. She goes, sir, yeah, middle of your back, herniated disc. They don't have a real good report for you and you've been in a lot of pain. The heat you're feeling is God just making it all new. He's like, and it just bang, bang, God just started moving. Watch. I don't think that would have happened if I didn't see the video. I'm not saying I hope this stuff keeps coming. What I'm saying is the response and springboard to truth so crushed it and put me in a place where I might not have been if I wasn't provoked. Am I making sense? I'm not asking to see the video. Are you kidding? That's ridiculous. I'm saying seeing the video isn't a problem because I have an answer. Because the video is not in my heart. It's in my memory. Jesus is in my heart. So you're not going to condemn me with the video. You're just going to make me closer to him. And then all of a sudden, I'm closer to him. And all of a sudden, I see his concern for her. And I see his heart for him. And there was something over here that took place. And I thought, ain't you something, Lord? All because I saw that video. Boom. And you taught me what you taught me when I first got saved and heard them voices. And you just ramped everything up, probably beyond where it would have been. Now, I'm not saying God wouldn't move with word of knowledge because that's what we were teaching on. I was going to teach. But it wouldn't have went down like it went down. And I had people up confessing and shouting and decreeing to God. It was fun. I hope I made sense to y'all today. Don't let thoughts, and don't let feelings ever, ever, ever identify your life. Well, I don't feel like he loves me. Stop it. He does. He sent his son. You're asking for a feeling and you're in dangerous ground. and you're asking people to pray for you till you feel the love of God. I have a better option for you. Believe the love of God. And let everything you feel come through the belief of God's love. So if you ever have a season where he doesn't seem close, you already know he is. Are you hearing me? The stronghold of God is your faith in him, not your feelings in him. Feelings are fun when they're in God, but you don't live by them. Are you with me? I was in Oklahoma. A lady came up to me at the end. She said, I minister on something, righteousness, God, love was oozing out of me because it was a bedroom almost kind of message for me. And that lady came up crying. She said, you need to lay hands on me so that I feel the love of God. I see his love in you. And I have never experienced his love. And I know that sounds so Christian to us in ministry. Like, yeah, she needs that experience. And she said, I've been prayed for by, these were all people everybody knows. I've been prayed for by, I mean, she was starting to run out of fingers. And I looked at her and smiled gently. And I said, honey, I'm not praying for you for that. I said, first of all, you're not going to put me on your list. I said, it's time for you to believe him. And just believe he loves you. She got so mad at me because I'm a preacher and won't pray for her. I said, please don't get mad at me. And she just stormed off. She's not going to put me on her list. I wasn't happy she stormed off. I pleaded with her. She just chose to be mad. Dangerous ground, living for an experience. When truth's right in front of her through the cross. I never have to feel the love of God to know he loves me. My heart knows. Never ever have to feel the love of God. My heart knows it. And there's times I really feel it. But it's safe because my heart knows already. Are you with me? Yes. Father, help us to just walk in you. Just lead us by your Spirit. And let us walk through every trial, trap, scheme, and wile of the enemy. We're not giving him glory. We're giving you glory. But we aren't unaware of his devices. And we are not going to give him place. So, Father, even if he's looking for opportune time and trying to do something right in the midst of the outpouring of your presence, we're not going to reason it. We're not going to rational it. We're just going to look to you and find truth in the midst of it. I ask that every person would find that confident place in their own heart where they know their own heart. And my biggest prayer this morning is that this afternoon now is that we would just live unveiled before you and really know what it means to just be unveiled before you and be your unveiled children, unashamed, accepted, and loved by God. Father, I ask for that to be in every life here. And I pray what was shared this morning would guard, protect, and keep every person. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Pastor, however you want to close, I just feel like I said what I should say. Thank you, sir.
Hang tight just 1 minute because the atmosphere's right. I could ask these guys, I think we baptized about 14 people. And I think I told every one of them the same thing. When we baptize you right now, it's like you never had a past. That you're squeaky clean. Everything that was ever before doesn't even have a voice. That your past would no longer have a voice because it's dead. We're going to leave it in the tub. I told him I'm pulling the drain. When it's going out, gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the devil wants a seat at your table to talk about who you used to be. And you get to choose to say, wait a minute. What Pastor Dan's preaching right now, I don't know if you understand the value of everything you heard. But there's incredible, listen, the teaching you got in the last hour. People have gone to psychiatrists for 10 years with the same problem and never got healed. If they were here for 1 hour, would have been done. Do you understand what I just said? Please hear that. Please hear that. The value of what just happened really, really matters. If we can get this, man, I'm telling you, it'll launch you forward. So I need you to stand with me just for a minute. When I counsel people over this, and this is one of the things I tell them, please understand, what Pastor Dan just told you is there is not going to be a day when you no longer have stupid thoughts. You might have little lapses in your life that you're not going to have a stupid thought, but they're coming. Why? I actually had a girl ask me one time, we were standing right over here, and she said, Pastor Dawn, I need you to pray for me. I said, what's going on, honey? And she told me, she said, I want you to pray. She said, I'm so tired of fighting temptations. The temptations are just ridiculous, and I'm so tired of the devil tempting me. Would you pray that I'm not tempted anymore? And I looked at her and I said, absolutely, give me your hands. And she gave me her hands and she looked at me and I said, Father, kill her right now. Kill her and take her to heaven, because as long as she's here, she's going to be tempted. And she let go of my hands. And I promise you, that's not a made up story. That's 100%. Why? Because you can't live in that place. But there's a difference between having internal thoughts and external thoughts. And those are external thoughts trying to get in. They're not internal thoughts trying to rise up. They're external trying to make their way in. And everything that you've heard today can be so beneficial if you grab a hold of that and realize that's so not who I am. Sometimes I love, boy, this is going to sound terrible, but listen to me. Sometimes I'm almost happy when the devil comes to me, lying to me, telling me how messed up I am. You're so messed up. You're never going to succeed. Why? Because I quote scripture to him. Why? It's John 8:44. Every time he speaks a lie. So if his lie is that I'm messed up and I'm never going to succeed, Father, I thank you. Because when the devil speaks, he speaks a lie. And he told me I'm never going to be succeed. So I guess I'm on the way to success. Father, I thank you. And I claim it in Jesus' name. Do you understand what I just said? Because you have the privilege and the right to turn that around. Because if he's lying about what you're not, then you get to declare who you are. I hope that makes sense to you. Because it'll change your life forever. It's not a... This is not a self-help program. This is a give it all to Jesus moment. These guys got baptized. I don't know. Bunches of them. It's pretty awesome. Every one of them had a shirt, and I talked about their shirt. You know why? Because their shirt says all in. It ain't some in. It ain't mostly in. It ain't in and out. That's a hamburger place. It's all in. That's it. It's not like the shirts were made for a guy named Alan and we spelled it wrong. It just says all in. Because you're all in. And you got a purpose in your heart. But I felt this in my heart. And I know in the first service there were some people, and I just need to do this. The battle Pastor Dan talked about is a battle that is won through surrender. Where you're saying, you know what? I'm done playing. No more. No more games. No more one foot in, one foot out. Some of y'all been doing the hokey pokey with God. Foot in, you got one foot out, you shake it all about, turn around, do whatever. It don't work. Can I tell you something? It never works. It never works to have one foot in and one foot out. I've never seen anybody successfully navigate. Listen, I can I tell you what I know about happy people? There are happy sinners. There really are. They were in sin and they were happy in their sin. Listen, I was a happy sinner. I was a happy sinner. And then I got into the presence of God and conviction grabbed me. And then, you know what happened? I jumped into Jesus. And when I jumped in, I jumped in. You know what I found out? I found out I could be happy in Jesus or I could be happy in sin, but I couldn't be happy half the time in sin and half the time in Jesus. Because when I was trying to be in Jesus, I was reminded of the mess I was doing. When I was in the world, and it was just this tension. The people who are trying to live with one foot in and one foot out, can I tell you something? You don't even know it. You got both feet out and you don't even realize it. And I'm right. You just think you in Jesus and in the world, and you cannot be both. On Matthew 25, on the day of judgment, the sheep are on the right hand, the goats are on the left. You know what? There's none, no shoats. You ain't like half sheep, half goat. They didn't even made a shoat. You say, well, I'm just on the fence. Well, the devil owns the fence. It's his fence. Get off the fence. And I really feel this really strongly. Like, I didn't want Pastor Dan to step down because here's what I feel in my heart. I think you heard what he said, but what he said works when you give yourself to Christ. But if you haven't given yourself to Christ, you're going to have this head battle the rest of your life. Do you understand what I just said? And I felt this in my heart, and I felt like there's some people that maybe haven't fully surrendered to Jesus. And if you're in this auditorium right now, and you haven't fully surrendered your life, and I'm not talking about you prayed. Listen, one of the great injustices we've done in the body of Christ is we've said, pray this prayer and ask Jesus into your heart. If you can ever chapter and verse me on that in your Bible, I am amazed, because it does not exist. That's a fallacy. It's something we created. It wasn't even, I don't even believe the apostles walked in any of that. There was never a place that says, ask Jesus into your heart. There is a place that says, give him your life. Do you understand what I just said? There's a huge difference. You're not going to just incorporate Jesus in. And I talked to some of them in the pool about that because the Lord really laid it on my heart heavy. This is not about I'm getting into the pool here so I can incorporate Jesus into my life and try to show up on church some Sundays and do okay and ask Jesus to give me a better life. You heard it straight up. That doesn't even exist. This is about surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. I honestly believe that we've deceived a whole lot of people when we said, pray this prayer, ask Jesus into your heart, and God's going to give you, because that's out there. I'm talking about fully surrendered, giving yourself to Christ, and saying, man, that's what I want. I want to be all in. I'll even give you a free shirt. Don't do it for the shirt. What I want you to understand is, there's something about surrendering, and I don't know who it is, but I couldn't let us dismiss it. I know we're way past, like we should have already been at the salad bar. Trust me, I know that. But this isn't even about that, because I think God has a table set for somebody. Who is it that's ready to say, I want to be all in? Meet me here right now. I'm talking about you haven't been all in, but you're ready. I thought so. I really thought that. There's something about being all in, man. There's something about saying, listen, man, I'm done playing the games. I'm done fooling. I'm done messing. I'm done. I'm done with the in and out. I'm done with the up and down. Let her be with Jesus, honey. Let her be with Jesus. Is that okay? And I don't say that in any bad way. I know what God's doing right now, and it's pretty awesome. And I thank you for your compassion. I really mean that. But I feel Jesus in this. There's something in this right now. Anybody else? I feel like there's still a couple. Is there some more that we're just saying, you know what? All in. I'm talking about being full on without missing a thing. Thanks, honey. Thanks, honey. That means a lot. Thanks, buddy. I felt that. I felt like there was a couple more. Thanks, man. That's a big deal. Go ahead, man. Just pray. Whatever's in your heart.
You don't miss your moment. You can come up here. There's just something about humility and coming up publicly like that. I mean, it's not that you have to, but there's something powerful about it. Pastor felt it in his heart. Are we waiting on anybody? Come here quickly if we're waiting on anybody. Please come quickly. I'm going to move forward. Listen, you guys are here. I'm proud of you for surrendering. I want you to understand that nothing has ever changed on God's end, no matter how we've conducted our lives. And when you have godly sorrow, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So even those tears that you're feeling that seem so deep right now, they have definition, but they change. So they have to change in our lives. Those tears are going to change. They've been healthy. Real healthy in a minute in the sense of vindication. They're not unhealthy now. I'm not suggesting they are. They're deep. I can feel they're deep because there's conviction there. Guys, if you feel like you have to cry, it's okay. It's not regret. It's not remorse. And it's not condemnation. It's just that, man, I'm just here to live a different way. And I'm here to surrender. Sometimes it has tears. So I'm just giving you a moment to express that, to be there in that place. But here's what we're saying right now. We're saying there's no looking back. You're washing me right where I'm at, just like good old Abraham. If you came the first time, and it doesn't seem like I surrendered or got it right. And now you're coming again and you're saying, stand before me. I assure you this, he's saying, stand before me and be righteous. Stand before me and be found right in my sight. He's not mad at anybody. He's not saying, how good you, where have you been? It's about time. I promise you, everything I read in Scripture, God's excited that you walk forward. And what heaven's going to write is what Romans says about Abraham. That you never wavered, that you weren't weak in faith, and that you believed him. And I declare that over you guys. That you're receiving his grace today. And if you say, I'm here to surrender, then surrender it is. And I just believe that God's going to come into you and fill you like you've never been filled. And give you understanding and let you see like you've never seen. I feel like there's actually going to be a motivation in your heart that you didn't realize before. That you're going to be stirred by grace and God. I do see that. I'm saying that. Actually, like prophetically, I see that as I'm standing here. That God is meeting you right here in your sincerity. And he's letting you know that he loves you. This time, we're going for it, and it's going to be for keeps. So, Father, I bless them, and I pray for them, and I thank you for the restoration of all things as they surrender. I thank you, God, for granting them wisdom and giving them grace. Lord God, I thank you for receiving everyone right now. And I just thank you, Lord God, for making all things new. All in, God, all in, all in, all in, all in. So received and so loved by God. Yep. Yep. Now, I want you to understand something. I know we think there's things called maybe we wasted time or maybe we missed a moment. But God's the redeemer of time. God makes all things new. Like when you surrender, he can accomplish through your life more than maybe even would have happened if you had just been going steady along. When I got saved, the Lord said, do you realize I put you in a place beyond where you'd have been if you'd have just stayed in me all these years and grew in me all these years? I have redeemed things, and he's accelerated things, he told me. And for his kingdom's sake, in my life. And I was very humbled by that. And I hear that for you guys. I hear that especially for you. There's no time wasted concerning your life. And I promise you there's no looking back. No looking back. No looking back. The grace to never look back. Totally surrendered. Totally given. The grace to walk it out. Bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, bless you. Thank you, Father. All in. All in. Yeah, total forgiveness in your life, son. Total forgiveness. No, listen to me. There's total forgiveness in your life. Like he forgives you of everything that you've ever done. And it's time for you to start seeing yourself forgiven and let your identity find that place of healing and health. Where your worth, the gospel in your life, your worth, the blood of Jesus to God the Father. They are my words. Him dying on the cross says, son, you're worth my death. I know who you are. I know who I created you to be. No matter where you've been, what you've done, no matter what you're thinking, I haven't changed my mind, I hear the Lord say. And it's time that you're going to start knowing who you are as you receive the truth about who I am. I'm just here to amplify. You are forgiven. And Father, I just thank you. If he's forgiven, he's free. And I just thank you. There's not one thing about yesterday that can hold this young man down. There's nothing that can stay attached or will be attached outside of Christ. I declare the kingdom of God in and through his life. And I declare him sanctified and separated to the glory of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and making all things new. In Jesus' name. Yeah, you are. Father, just thank you. Just thank you. Just thank you. Thank you for your kids. All in, man. All in. All in. When you get up from this place today, you're starting brand new. Talk to him like never before. I feel like the Lord's saying, get that word in your heart like never before. I don't believe believe you can't understand it, I'm telling you, you start getting in that word, it's going to come alive in you, young man. I see it. Don't fail to get into that word like the Lord's going to give you understanding. If you'll step out in faith and start putting it in your heart, man, your eyes are going to see. I'm actually getting fired up as I'm seeing that, because you're really going to see. No, like you're really going to see. Uh-huh. See, some people believe things for a long time and then they don't do what their heart wants because of the wrong belief. But God knows all that stuff, and then he's poking people right where they need poked a little bit. Oh man, are you going to see? I said enough on that one. Bless her, God, and mark her. And just seal her for your glory, God. That from her young life all the way through, it'll be said of her, my, did she bring him glory. All her life, man, did she bring him glory. From now all the way through, mark her, Lord. Mark her for your name's sake. Let her know your love and let her enjoy every minute of knowing you. And let it be said of her, man, did she bring him glory. Yeah, I'm done.